Let's go back, I guess, to talk about one of the things that everybody was talking about earlier this week, and that's Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to the joint session of Congress. I'm presuming that you were there. I'd like to get your thoughts.
I was there, and I'll tell you the word, wow. He did a great job, and I think he very clearly and plainly laid out the challenges that exist in the Middle East, and he talked about the fact that the United States seems to be going down the wrong path in coming up with this agreement with Iran that the president is proposing. And so I remain more committed than ever to try to make sure that we don't let this Iran deal go through. It's a bad deal. And then we also need to reimpose sanctions so we can get them to the table and start and make them make it work.
It does seem, I don't know that there's a single Democrat on the Senate side in the Foreign Relations Committee that's expressed any kind of support for the president's war plan at all. It does seem to be in trouble.
It does. And what's really fascinating about the president is he has no relationship whatsoever with Congress. I mean, if you talk to folks around that have worked in White Houses before, there was always a very active legislative liaison function so that the president could stay in touch with Congress in order to be able to promote his or her agenda, and then also to be able to receive feedback from Congress about where Congress was on particular issues. I have seen my legislative liaison from the White House two times. Once was shortly after I was sworn in 2011. The second one was in 2013 when they dropped off tickets to the inauguration. Other than that, they just ignore Congress. Wow. And the Democrats have the same complaint.
So
he doesn't know where Congress is. I don't know that he cares.
Well, you say that, and then I kind of was surprised pleasantly by Ash Carter, who's the new defense secretary, yesterday kind of sounded a little bit independent to the president's plan. I mean, he said, I don't want to be set to a three-year timetable. I thought that was pretty candid.
Well, it is. I was glad to hear that. Ash Carter is more of a technocrat than he is what you'd consider to be your typical secretary of defense. But he sure seems to be on the right track to me. We had an extensive discussion of the AUMF yesterday to go fight the Islamic State in our discussions in our Republican Study Committee luncheon. And I think Mac Thornberry from Texas laid out a great case to disregard the direction the president wants to go and for us to go a different direction so that we can beat them.
Well, again, I think it's kind of neat when somebody on your team who's your Secretary of Defense the first crack out of the box is saying he doesn't necessarily see that that's the right plan. I want to go back to last week. You and I had spoken about something that you were pretty enthusiastic about, and that was the Student Success Act, which was basically aimed at giving states more control over education and kind of an upgrade to No Child Left Behind. Leadership pulled the vote. What happened?
Well, let's not say it was an upgrade, because it wasn't an upgrade of No Child Left Behind. It basically gutted No Child Left Behind because nobody liked it. No, ideologically, liberals didn't like it. Conservatives didn't like it. Your state and local folks didn't like it. Teachers didn't like it. Students didn't like it. And parents didn't like it. So what we tried to do is start with a new Federal Education Act is essentially what it was. Now, I think most of my constituents believe the federal government should not be involved in education and because it's not our constitutional role. That said, we are, and so this was basically a way to phase back out and to begin to turn more and more control over to our state and local folks that know best how to educate our students. And in particular, one of the things it did was to absolutely kill any federal involvement in Common Core. But there was an outside group that decided they want to get involved, and I don't know if it was for fundraising purposes or what, but they clearly and categorically misstated what was in that law and then said, okay, we're going to score it. And because of that, you had people that said, okay, well, we're out of here. We're not going to support it because you got this outside group that's against it. And no matter what the words were in the law, there was no convincing anybody that they needed to consider it. So as a result, it was stillborn, and the leadership of the House didn't want to have it embarrassed by putting up one of their own bills, reform bills, and then have it fail on the floor. So it was pulled. And I think, if I'd been leadership, I'd have pulled it too until we figure out what's the path forward. Now, what I went to leadership, I think there were a couple of things that might have been able to save it. I went to leadership early on and said, look, I need three amendments to this, and I think you can get the conservatives to support it more wholeheartedly. Number one is I need a religious liberty amendment or religious freedom amendment, which basically reaffirms the right of everybody to practice their faith, whether they're in the school or not, whether it's a teacher or a pupil, so that, you know, if they want to wear a cross to school around their neck, that's not banned. If they want to say Merry Christmas, they can do that, stuff like that. That one passed by a voice vote on the floor. There were two others. One was called A+, which essentially said that a state could opt out of any remaining federal mandates, but still receive federal funding. And then there was another one for portability to say that money follows the student. Unfortunately, leadership and or the Rules Committee did not allow those latter two amendments to move forward to be part of the debate. And so that, I think that those were two pieces of great icing, if you will, on a cake that would have made it palatable to conservatives. And but they didn't allow it to go forward, and so I think that made it pretty difficult to get it to pass.
And then, of course, earlier this week, the House had to go ahead and fund a clean DHS funding bill because what you'd sent over to the Senate got kicked back. You know, 2 weeks ago, the Speaker was on Fox News Sunday talking about how the House had done their job, and the House had done their job by putting this package together that tied the immigration in there, too. Then it went over to the Senate. Senate voted it down and kicked it back. Is this an embarrassment for the leadership there in the House, not being able to get things done the way they want to, and you had to take the medicine that the Senate sent back to you?
Well, I think it's an embarrassment to everybody in the House that it happened the way it did, because I mean, the Speaker was right. We did our job. We went through and gutted the President's unlawful amnesty action by the funding bills and the writers that were part of the funding bill for Department of Homeland Security. Now, we you know, when you roll it, well, I'll go into what I think we should have done in the past. Then you got to where when the Senate rejected it and they sent us a clean bill. What we proposed to do was a two-step process, and we voted on this last Friday. Step one was to vote to go to conference with the Senate to resolve the differences between the Senate's clean bill and the House's bill that had the anti Obama action riders on it to stop the president. And that's the constitutional process. If one body says, okay, we like it this way, if another body says we like it a different way, then you go to conference, and that's how you resolve it. But in order to get from where we were at that point of disagreement to where we needed to be, we needed to fund DHS for 3 weeks so that you could establish a conference committee, then you go to conference to try to resolve the differences. And I think we might have come out with something that funded DHS and had something called the Collins Amendment on the Senate, which would have done what we in the House would have felt like was appropriate. Unfortunately, we had a bunch of people that voted against the three-week funding, and they claimed that there was funding in there for the president's amnesty action. That was patently false. That was absolutely a lie. But it went down. And so the Senate's over there, Harry Reid over in the Senate said, hey, well, I got the House exactly where I want them. I've got them by their private parts. And so I don't have to do anything now. And so the Speaker is faced with a choice. Does he preside over shutting down the Department of Homeland Security, or does he go ahead and you know, bite the bullet and let it pass with Democrats and a few Republicans? And that's what he elected to do. I hated that we were in that position, but there were folks that voted against the three-week funding bill that put him in that position.
So let's let your constituents know, how did you vote on the DHS clean bill so they know?
I voted no. Right. I voted no on everything except, well, let me rephrase that. I voted yes on the bill to go to conference, as did most Republicans. I voted yes on the three-week funding bill, which is the one that failed because people were saying it funded amnesty, and it absolutely did not fund amnesty. But the important thing about the 3 week bill, it set us up to go to conference to have to go through the constitutional process to resolve the differences so that we could continue to fight the president's amnesty action. But when that failed, that basically said, okay, the game's over. This Harry Reid and the Senate's back in control. It was really a shame. Then there was a 1 week funding bill. I voted no on that one. That was late last Friday night. And then there was a bill. Then when the Senate bill came across over to the House, and the leadership put it back up for a vote, I voted. There was an amendment. There was a motion by Matt Salmon of Arizona to table that bill and essentially kill it. I voted yes to table it and kill the Senate bill, and then that vote failed, and so the Senate bill came to the floor, and then I voted against the Senate bill on the floor. So I voted against the clean funding of DHS. Now, you know, if you want to rewind the clock and back to November, when the president rolled out this unlawful and unconstitutional action, we didn't have much time during the lame duck session to figure out how do you fight this. And I think what would have been better if we'd had more time is we could have gone after funding for all the hostages we were willing to shoot. Phil Graham used to tell me all the time, never take a hostage that you're not willing to shoot. You know, and those are things like Department of Defense, Homeland Security, things like that. But there are hostages we're willing to shoot, the IRS, the EPA, Department of Education, things like that. And what we should have done is say, okay, we're going to fund all of the government in what was then the Cromnibus bill, but we're not going to fund the IRS, and we're not going to fund half of the White House staff, for instance, and you know, the EPA and all the president's pet rock projects that he likes. And then let the president decide, okay, am I going to preside over the shutdown of my beloved EPA, his beloved EPA, not mine? And so I think in retrospect, if all of us had had more time to think, and this is not a fault of any individual member or leadership or anybody else, it's just that the process got rushed and it was in a lame duck session. So I think we could have played it better if we'd had a chance to sort of back up and think about it. Yeah. Now, going forward, we still have we have litigation with the states. The House has considered litigation against the president as well. I mean, we still have Article 3 of the Constitution to resolve the differences between the executive branch in Article 1 and Congress in Article 1 and the executive branch in Article 2. And then we also have there's going to be a whole new round of funding bills that we're working on beginning April the 1st all the way through the summer to fund the government beginning October the 1st. And we'll have a chance to take better hostages. We just have to hope the judge's injunction stays in place because that's blocked the president's unlawful amnesty actions. And then if he can stay in place till October 1st, then we can actually have another really, really good shot at killing this president's behavior. So stay tuned.
We will. And we covered a lot of stuff today. I had four other things we want to do. We don't have time for that today, but we'll do it on another day.
Well, because I got time.
I don't. That's the only thing. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear it. We're going to do Thursday during March, though. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Because I have budget meetings
exactly.
on Wednesdays.
So we're going to do Thursdays, and you can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Great talking to you, Scott. I'd ask your listeners continue praying for our country and our military men and women.
All right, thanks.